This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Very good morning to you all, radio listeners. I hope you've enjoyed the words in that song. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Good morning, Hawke's Bay. Good morning, Napier and Hastings and White Park. If you're listening, welcome again to another edition of our program called the Early Bird Gospel Program. The program that will bring you hope from the Word of God. I hope that you've been enjoying the little break this long weekend. I hope that you also are in good health. John 3, verse 2, that God wants us to be in good health. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning, Kiasi, and good morning to everyone. Yes, health is better than wealth. That's what I learned when I was young. No matter how much you cut in your bank, but if you're not healthy, this money will just go off. Nothing. It will become useless. But anyway, this morning I'd like to share to you, because it's a long weekend, about we're celebrating about Jesus' death and his resurrection. So I found this reading, which is very interesting. And Jesus conquered death for you and me. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 6, he said, "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. One day, your heart and my heart will give a final pulse, and your lungs and my lungs will empty a final breath. And bearing the return of Jesus, we will die." The psalmist asked, "What person alive will not die? Who can escape the grave?" That is in the book of Psalms, chapter 89, verse 48. "Young and old, good and bad, rich and poor, neither gender is spared. No class is exempt. No one has power over the time of their death." That is in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 8. "The geniuses, the rich, the poor, no one outruns or outsmarts it. Julius Caesar died. Elvis Presley died. John Kennedy died. Princess Diana died. We will all die. We won't escape death. The finest surgeon may enhance your life, but cannot eliminate your death." The Hebrew writer was blunt. "People are destined to die once." That is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27. "Exercise all you want. Eat nothing but healthy food and pop fist full of vitamins. Stay out of the sun, away from alcohol and off drugs. Do your best to stay alive, and still, you will die." Death seems like such a dead end until we read Jesus' resurrection story. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Go quickly and tell his disciples, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him." So they went out quickly to bring his disciples word. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped. For the redeemed child of God, death is not the end, but the beginning of a glorious life in heaven that will not end. Not only Jesus will conquer death for us, but also he will pay our debt. The debt is paid, because he said, "It is finished." Because in Old Testament times, people received forgiveness from God by bringing a sacrificial lamb to the altar, where a priest would shed its blood and offer it as atonement. The first person in Scripture to do this was Cain's brother, Abel. When Solomon dedicated his temple, he sacrificed 120,000 sheep and 22,000 oxen as a sacrifice for the nation. In the Old Testament tabernacle, the sacrificial fire was never allowed to go out. The Israelites carried it with them on through the wilderness. And it is estimated that between Gethsemane and Easter, no less than 100,000 lambs died, literally turning the Kidron stream red. However, not one drop of all that shed blood could atone for our sins. The sacrifices were simply rolled forward, waiting for a lamb whose sacrifice would end all sacrifices. A priest whose finished work would atone for sin once and for all. And that's what happened when Jesus cried, "It is finished." In Hebrew, the phrase literally means "paid in full." At that moment, the curtain in the temple that separated the people from God was torn from top to bottom. As a result, we can now go at any time where only man could go one day a year into the presence of God, knowing we'll all be loved, accepted, seen through the blood of Christ, and deemed righteous. With this in mind, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16. And so there you are, dear listeners. That's my would like to share to you about Jesus' death and his resurrection. And I'd like you to listen to a song sang by the Acapeldridge. And it's called Jesus Paid It All. Gone is all my debt of sin. A great change is wrought within. And to live I now begin, risen from the fall. Yet the debt I did not pay, someone died for me one day, sweeping all the debt away. Jesus paid it all.
God is all my debt of sin. A great change is wrought within. And to live I now begin, risen from the fall. Yet the debt I did not pay, someone died for me one day, sweeping all the debt away. Jesus paid it all. Jesus died and paid all, yes, all on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid it all. Oh, I hope to please him now. Light of joy is on my brow. As at his dear feet I bow, safe within his love. Making his the dead I own, freedom truly as he shone.
Yes, Jesus paid it all. Good morning again. Thank you for tuning in. Our text, first text this morning, is the famous and well-known text in the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember that word, if. Whosoever believeth in him should have eternal life. And that is a challenge in itself, radio listeners, this morning. faith and believing in Jesus. He came, he walked the streets, he talked to people, he ate with sinners, and yet he took to the cross. He was brutalized, he was battered, he was bruised on that cross for our iniquities. And this week, we, as Christians in the world, we stop and think about that crucial day. That was Friday, when he took to the cross for your sins and my sins. Yet the Bible doesn't say the exact date that Jesus died, or the exact date that when he was born. But for the fact that we celebrate his death and his birth, it is very important that one day he came, he was born, and he died for you and for me. And that's a very important thing. But this week, yes, he was crucified. The focus is his resurrection. That is where we want to go to this morning. The power of his resurrection. Because without the resurrection, we cannot really celebrate his death. And that is life in itself. When he was resurrected from the grave. And it gives joy to everyone, and it gives hope to everyone that he promised that when he died, he will come back to life. It shows us that he is a divine being. He is the creator. He is the life giver, radio listeners. Our first text this morning is Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. Before that, we will go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. Our phone number this morning, if you want to drop a line regarding this long weekend, the Easter weekend, 022-322-3364. 022-322-3364. Why is this weekend so important to you as a Christian? As I've said before, the resurrection gives us hope. Yes? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. Let us read.
Yeah. Which in his times he shall shew who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only had immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no one had seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
He was resurrected early Sunday morning, or the first day of the week. That verse talks about the immortality of Jesus. If we break that word down, it means that he can resurrect himself. And man is not immortal. Man is mortal. Just the opposite to immortality. You know, the idea that we live on when we die. I want you to read Job chapter 4, verse 17. Just for our listeners to hear that Job mention about man is mortal. When we die, that's it. That's the end. The idea that we live on. The idea that our soul or is watching from somewhere, or it's up there in heaven. The idea that we go to heaven straight away when we die. Let's read Job chapter 4, verse 7.
Chapter 4, verse 17.
Verse 17,
it says, Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker?
Okay.
Yeah, that's clear.
That's very clear. Can you read that again?
Yeah, it says again, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more purer than his maker? Of course not.
Of course not. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20.
Ezekiel chapter
18, verse 20.
Verse 20, it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him.
Thank you. So, radio listeners, this morning we've been talking about the immortality of God, of Jesus. He was able to resurrect himself. Yes, he was crucified. And that's why we're celebrating this long weekend. And he was able to resurrect himself on the third day, which is Sunday morning, first day of the week. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, and Job chapter 4, verse 17, talks about man is mortal. We can't be purer than Jesus. We can't be purer than God. When we die, that's it. Until Jesus comes again, until that resurrection day. I just want to put that clear. The idea that is floating around, especially in our Christian circle, that when you die, you go straight to heaven. Have you heard that, Rosemary, before?
Oh, yes, yes. And I heard, I received some messages from my friends on the Facebook that their father is already in heaven and watching over them. Imagine that. Their family is over there, dead, and watching over their families on the earth. And the people, what are they doing there? They are just watching. I can hardly understand that.
Do you know, radio listeners, that is a doctrine of the devil, if I can put it that way. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, just to back up that statement. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. The doctrine of the devil that you shall not surely die.
Yes.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 4.
Yeah, it says here, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die.
Amen. That is the first lie ever that has been told from the beginning, that you shall not surely die. In fact, if you continue on reading that chapter, it's somewhere there it says that, and you shall be like
God.
God. Imagine that. Because in Job we just read that man cannot surpass God. Man is impure. But the idea that man lives on after death, that is the doctrine of the devil. The immortality of men was the devil's first lie. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, God only has immortality. Ezekiel 18, verse 20, man is immortal. Job chapter 4, verse 17, man is mortal. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, immortality of man was the first devil's lie. So, radio listeners, this morning, before we take a little short break, we celebrate Easter. In fact, the word Easter is not found in the Bible. It is a very long story when we talk about the word Easter. But the fact that Jesus was born, he came into this world one day, that's something that we need to celebrate. The fact that he was born, yes, the fact that he died, he took to the cross for your sins and my sins, and he rose again on the first day of the week, that's something that we need to celebrate as Christians. But one very important thing, that he was resting in his grave on the day in between, and that is the Sabbath. And the Bible clearly says before in the creation that you should remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Before any Jew was born, before any body was ever existed on this earth, just Adam and Eve, God created that day to commemorate in remembrance of his creation.
Yeah, I think he did what he said, that you have to observe the Sabbath, because he was on the grave on the Sabbath. That means that he was resting on that day. And then he resurrected on the first day.
In fact, the day when he was crucified, and Mary and this woman, they left early as the Sabbath draweth nigh. You read that in the book of John. They went home. Jesus was completely breathless. He rested on that Sabbath day. He rose again on the first week. And that is a very important thing that we want to raise here, that only Jesus has immortality and not man. Man does not have a soul. He is a soul. Let's go further. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Can you read if you're there?
Yes, it says here, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul."
Okay. We were given a breath of life. Man was created, the flesh was there, but there was no life. The body cannot function until God breathed into man's Adam's nostrils the breath of life. So breath of life plus that flesh plus that the dust of the earth is equal living soul. So to be alive, to be a living soul, it takes two things, friendly listeners. The dust of the earth plus the breath of life that God gives equals a living soul. So when you reverse that process, if you take away one, if you take away the breath of life, you know, when somebody passed away, the body just lies there without the breath. The breath has been taken away by God, the one who gave it. So if the breath's taken away, the person is lifeless. We cannot say a living soul. It's a dead soul. A living soul is death. So a living soul is breath plus dust is equal living soul. When you take away one of the two, when you take away the dust or the breath, equals to living and is equal to dead soul. I hope our listeners that you will come to understand that. To those of you who are listening in this morning for the very first time, thank you. We're talking about the immortality of the soul is only found in Jesus. Jesus has immortality, which means that he can raise himself up from the dead. But for you and for me, ordinary human beings, we have a mortal soul. When we die, that's it. Until Jesus comes again, until that resurrection day.
It's fine.
the blood that never loses its power. You know, something is very important with the blood. It keeps us alive. That's the power. You know, when you lose blood, you quickly will die slowly. Now, it's very important that we think of our blood that circulates in our body, that keeps us alive every day. How important is that blood?
It is very important. You know, some of the old people, they have a problem of low blood sugar, low blood or high blood. So our blood should be normal so that we can function properly.
We normally go to our doctors to have a blood test. If we want to know whether we are sick or not, or whether there's something wrong with us, the first thing that normally takes place is we need to take your blood. And then a lot of diagnosis that happens beyond that, so that the doctors can finally let us know the type of situation we're in regarding our health. So the blood, radio listeners, is one of the very important elements of our body.
Yes, it's amazing, no? Because of the blood, the doctors who are testing your blood can see what's happening with the other parts of your body.
Right.
You know?
The flow of blood into our to other various organs in our body that goes up to the brain. You know, I've always heard of blood clot. It doesn't flow to the designated place that it needs to go to keep the body parts functioning and alive. Radio listeners, the importance of the blood. Remember the blood of Jesus that was shed on that day. I always think, why can't be something else to take the place of him? Because before that, it was the animal blood. It takes the blood of something for the remission of our sin. That's why in the Old Testament, they were killing animals, so that the blood can be taken and sprinkled into the holy place for the remission of their sins. Something must, you know, give way for your sins and my sins to be forgiven. And that something is the life in itself, and that is the blood. Because our blood is life. Our life is in our blood. Radio listeners, the importance of the death of Jesus on the cross. The importance of his love that God gave his son. That for you and for me. Yes, we've been talking about the soul and the mortal soul that we have. That one day we will have that immortal soul. From mortal to immortality. At the moment, we don't have that. When somebody dies, the mortal soul passes away. There's no more soul. But Jesus only has immortality. But when he comes back again, our body will be changed. As recorded in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. That our body will be changed from this mortal body to immortality. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. The reverse process of the living soul. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. We've just read before Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. So if the breath of life gets taken away, it goes back to death or dead soul. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. Can you read, please?
It says here, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it.
Okay.
Very clear.
Very clear.
Yes.
So when somebody died, the spirit goes back to God. That spirit is the breath in itself goes back to God, and the body returns to the dust of the earth, and therefore there was no one.
Mm.
No, lifeless. Nobody. Dead soul.
Yes.
So living soul is breath plus dust equals living soul. Dead soul is dust minus breath of life. That goes back to dead soul. It's a reverse process. Radio listeners, this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, at death, the process is reversed. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God breathed into man's nostril and man became a living soul. The Bible also tells us that Jesus called death sleep. David, in Psalm chapter 13, verse 3, calls death sleep. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, Daniel also called death sleep. John 11, verse 11 to 14, Jesus calls death sleep. Can you read John chapter 11, verse 11 to 14? Now, when somebody passes away, when we go and see that person in his coffin, it looks like that person is just sleeping. The whole body is there, but the breath is just not there. John chapter 11, verse 11 to 14. Jesus calls death sleep.
Yes, it says here, John chapter 11, verse 11 to 14. This thing said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead.
Okay. Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and Jesus resurrected him again. He didn't come down from heaven. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And one very good example is to when Jesus died on Good Friday, he rested in his grave on the Sabbath. He rose again on the first day of the week. And he didn't ascend to heaven on straight away. He was on this earth for another 40 days before his ascension to heaven, before he went to heaven. So the idea that man goes to heaven when he died, that is the doctrine of the devil, if I can say it again. Because we've read the first lie in the beginning, that Satan said to Eve, you shall not surely die. Radio listeners, I hope we're clear on that part, that when man died from this world, the Bible calls death, it's just like a sleep. And for us, if we look at it in our human terms, it's like a long sleep. You know, it's like a long sleep. Oh, Uncle Harry died, or Uncle Jim died 2 years ago. We can count how long the body's in the grave. We know it goes back to dust. But for the person that is in the grave, he doesn't know anything. No wonder why the Bible says, in the twinkle of an eye, we shall see him. The moment he closes his eyes on that deathbed, and the moment when he opens his eyes, Jesus comes again. It's just like a twinkle of an eye. But for you and for me that are living, we know the amount of time that person is in that grave. No wonder why the Bible says that death is like a sleep. And we can call it as human a long sleep. Because when Jesus comes again, everything changes. Can you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, after we hear this music? Radio listeners, enjoy the words in this song.
Christ the Lord is risen. and angels sing. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. Death in vain forbids him rise. Christ has opened paradise. Christ has opened paradise. Christ the Lord is risen today. Again, our glorious King, where, O death, is now thy sting? Dying once, he all doth save. Where thy victory, O grave? Where thy victory, O grave? So we now, where Christ has led, following our exalted head, made like him, ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels sing. Alleluia. Alleluia. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels sing.
First King chapter 2 verse 10, it talks about David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. First King chapter 11 verse 4 and 3, and Solomon slept with his father and was buried in the city of David. 1 King chapter 14 verse 20, and Jeroboam slept with his fathers in the city of David. The Bible is clear, radio listeners, that when we die, the Bible calls it a sleep in our tomb or in the grave. Daniel also called death sleep. David called death sleep. Jesus calls death sleep. We are totally unconscious and unaware of our surroundings. Dead remember nothing and can't give thanks. That is Psalm chapter 6, verse 5. Psalm chapter 115, verse 17. Dead do not praise God. How can we praise God when we died?
It's impossible.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Psalm chapter 146, verse 3 and 4, no one can lay plans after death. Their memory
is gone.
Is gone. Yes, sometimes we remember our loved ones, but slowly as time goes past, their memory will continue to slowly drift away. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5 to 6, dead, know nothing. You know, the idea that we go to another planet or we live on in another form, that is the very doctrine of the devil, that you shall not surely die, when he talked to Eve in that garden. The dead do not go to heaven or hell at death. We often hear of that. The opposite of heaven is hell. We often hear those words, almost every now and again. Oh, you can go to hell. You know, oh, hell. You know, what does that actually mean? Is there a hell out there? The dead do not go to heaven or hell at death. Can you read Job chapter 7, verse 9 to 10? The dead do not go to heaven or hell at death. Job chapter 7, verse 9 to 10.
Job chapter 7, 9 and 10. It says here, as the cloud is consumed and vanished away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. So, no more, gone. Yes.
You know, sometimes in our human thinking, we always think, oh, that room belongs to my grandfather. You know, don't do anything. Leave it. He might come back. He might come tonight. No, I came from that background that when somebody died, 4 nights after burial, we go to the grave, we take some food, and we put it on top of the grave overnight, after 4 nights. And now, as we look at the Bible, as this comes to light, it's just it's a doctrine of the devil, telling us that our loved one can still communicate with us. Dead remain in their graves. That is Job chapter 7, verse 9 to 10. Okay, Job chapter 21, verse 32. That also says that dead remain in their graves.
Chapter 21, verse 32 it says 32. 32, it says here. No.
Radio listeners, the dead do not go to heaven or hell at death. Hell, according to the Bible, will come later. Hell will come after the resurrection. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Job 21, verse 32.
Yes.
It says here, yet shall he be brought to the grave and shall remain in the tomb.
Okay. Remain
in the tomb.
John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. That is a very well-known text. John in the New Testament, chapter 5, verse 28 to 29.
It says here, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, for they have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Okay, that is where we want to focus this morning before we finish. The hope that is beyond that grave. That you won't be in that grave forever if your relationship with Jesus matters to you while you're still alive. The importance of giving our life to Jesus. Radio listeners, if you are listening in this morning, if you've been drifting away from your relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe this weekend can be a weekend that will make you draw closer to your Savior, Jesus Christ. Because when something happens to us, to you and to me today, our relationship with Him matters at that point. Because when he comes again, as Rosemary just read, those who died in the Lord will be resurrected first. And the question is, what about those that died in this earth that didn't have a relationship with Jesus or didn't have that faith? And that is where the word health or hell comes in, that there is a hell when Jesus comes again. Radio listeners, there's only two groups. There's only two groups. You either have to believe in God or not. Whether you'll be dead in Christ or dead without Christ. Light and darkness. Truth and error. There's only two ways that happens to a person when he dies. If he's a believer in Christ, he will see him again when he comes again. If he's not a believer in Christ, he will see him again when he will be resurrected to be condemned.
So there's no middle way.
There's no middle way. There is a price that I will face if I don't believe in God. And that is hell. But that will happen later. There's no hell happening at the moment. There's no one burning in hell at the moment. Jesus must come first and resurrected you and me. And then those who didn't believe in God will have their punishment later on. Can you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17?
Second Thessalonians.
Excuse me.
Chapter
4. Is it?
Second Thessalonians or First Thessalonians?
Oh, First Thessalonians, sorry. Mm-hmm. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16.
First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For it says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep."
Okay, those are the people that are alive when Jesus comes again. Continue on.
Yes, 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Okay.
Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord."
Okay.
We go together.
So there's two groups there. There's two groups there. Those that are in their grave, that died with the Lord, they will come first. They will be resurrected first. The dead, not believing in Christ, they will remain in their grave when Jesus comes again. That's very important to separate the two. And then, those that are alive and remain. So if Jesus comes today, those that are alive and remain will be caught up. What about that word remain? It tells you and me that somebody, some people, they are alive. When Jesus comes, they will be die. They will be what?
They will die. Yes.
They will die. They will die. And those that are alive and remain will be caught up with those that come up from their grave to be with the Lord.
To be with the Lord.
The Bible says 4,000 years. And that's very important, radio listeners, this morning. Our relationship with Jesus every day matters. Because if we pass from this life, our connection with him will save us on that day. We will be part of that group that will come up on that day to meet the Lord in the air. You know, the idea of the secret rapture. That is, I've been going around in the Christian circle nowadays. That word caught up that you've just read. Those that are alive and remain will be caught up with him. That word caught up is just another word of the word rapture. Everybody will see him. Every eye will see Jesus comes again. But the secret rapture teaching is that only some people will be taken. Remember this verse in John, the two women are grinding, one will be taken, one will not be taken. Two men in the field, one will be taken, one will not be taken. No, friends, the Bible clearly says that every eye will see him when he comes again. So before we leave you with these thoughts this morning, I hope that you've enjoyed what we've discussed this morning. The death of Jesus is very important. And also, his resurrection. And if you die with the Lord, you will see him when he comes again the second time. Just want to encourage everyone this morning, to those of you that are listening in this morning, if you're yet to make that decision for Christ, we encourage you. Make that decision for Christ before it's too late. Until we meet again, enjoy the rest of this weekend. God will take care of you. It's now 1 more minute to the hour of 8. Have a wonderful rest of Easter, and God bless you all.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.